FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Of the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour that I do for Melody Cederstrom, and certainly that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at this time slot on 7.465. Before I bring my guest up, I'm sure I have Melody with me. Are you there, Melody?
Yes, I am, Chris.
Thank you for joining us tonight briefly, my friend.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. I'd just like to recap on the precious metals today. Gold was up $1.20 at $418.80. Silver was up 14 cents at $7.14. Platinum was down 5 at $8.73. And palladium was down 3 at $1.98. We had the NASDAQ composite was down 11.50 to 2,050. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 45.88 to 10,457. And the S&P was down 4.06 to 11.90. And just a recap for tomorrow, that's on tap for Thursday. We have earnings coming out from Costco, Dollar General, and Toll Brothers, as well as reads on weekly jobless claims and a revised read on gross domestic product for the fourth quarter. So we'll be waiting breathlessly for that stuff. And I just wanted to let you know, Chris, we've been doing these shows on WWCR since the 1st of May, and we have a fan. We have a fan. His name is TJ, and he has sent two donations to us. The first one, he says, thanks to Melanie and Chris for giving the bitter, real, now time facts on shortwave. Just a small gift with God's help. Pray for mercy, peace, and justice. And then he had sent another one, dear Melanie and Chris, greetings, hope you are all fine, healthy, and prepared. Here's another small contribution to help keep Chris's program on WWCR. And he also wrote a letter to WWCR. So, and again, blessings, and thank you, TJ, blessings to you and Beatrice. So it's great to know that people care.
Wonderful. Absolutely nice to hear.
And I know you have a guest on tonight's program, so I'll keep it short, and have a great show.
Thank you very much, Melody, and we'll certainly be talking shortly.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Listeners, that number for Melody Cederstrom is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. The number for Discount Gold and Silver Trading, Melody Cederstrom and myself working together as a team to give the truth to you. And this is the way it is, and certainly people appreciate me being back on WWCR, and I knew that would happen after they know we're here, and that is the point. We are here on First Amendment Radio and WWCR the way it should be, and the frequency that you're listening to, 7.465 on WWCR, that 7.465 will be moving June 1st, to 9.985. That's 9.985 June 1st. You must write that down. 9.985. I've been out of shortwave for so long, I don't pay attention to these frequencies any longer. And I just don't listen to other shows because I don't want to be any more depressed or frustrated by what they're not saying compared to what I'm saying. And this is the problem that we have today, is that you have to wade through different shows to get what you want for information. I mainly document the directions that we take, and I certainly see the intrusion into our society of the UN system all around us and the State Department implementation of that. And yet, Russia and China, certainly I see Pentagon report to portray China as emerging rival. Well, I'm privileged to have with me tonight a gentleman I had last week for three nights, Honza Molina, who is a former Czechoslovakian Air Force, and he became a defector. Honza, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Chris. Glad to be here with you.
Thank you very much for being with me. And for the new listening audience, and the old ones, just bear with us, but for the new listening audience, give them a background of your early days in Czechoslovakia, and certainly the people that immigrate to this country, you know, they were usually happy with their country before it was corrupted, weren't they?
Well, let me put it this way. I was born in a family that was totally anti-communist, and we didn't like the government and didn't like the communists running it. But there was not a whole lot we could do about it because the control of the society over there is so tight in the communist countries that it's really you either end up dead or you end up in a prison. So my family owned some land and the communists confiscated it after the communist coup of 1948, and basically you on their blacklist. Basically that's what happens if you belong to this kind of class of people like I belong to through my family, and you know, of course we are Christians, and that way, you know, these people just they hate you for it, and you don't get to study what you want to study. You're growing up is pretty much you have to watch out for people, you know, that pretend to be your friends. You have to watch out what you say in certain places. You live in constant fear that something's going to happen to your family, and it's not easy to live in such a system. So you know, that's basically my background. I was forced to. You said that I was in the Czechoslovak Air Force. I was basically drafted. I was forced to serve. I didn't want to serve in a communist military.
You were drafted into the Czechoslovakian Air Force?
Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never any officer or anything. Never wanted to be. Plus, I wouldn't be probably accepted based on my background.
How about the people that you were in the Air Force with? Did they have the same feelings you had?
Well, most of the soldiers that were drafted, most of the people that I was there with, yeah, of course. But like I said, you don't have a choice. There's not much you can do unless you're highly suicidal, and then, you know, and that's they force you to. You either go to prison or you end up dead. So it's not much you can do. The way they control the society is really tight, beyond any imagination of people here in America.
Well, and this is the problem. America is asleep, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and that's a big problem. I don't think Americans realize what really communism is all about.
Are you seeing in this country things that happen in your country?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of changes throughout the 15 years of the so-called collapse of communism. We can see that there are things being implemented here. Basically, are pushed down to our through our throats. Basically, through some leftists in the government that, you know, and. And they, of course, are disguised as liberals or Democrats, or you can name it. But there are signs that I recognize based on where I was growing up.
When you say the so-called collapse of communism, do you mean communism did not collapse?
Absolutely not. I stand behind that statement. It was all set up by Russians in advance. Let me give you a couple details here. After the invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968, the new communist regime, pro-Moscow regime, they arrested some leftist people. They were formerly communists, and Russians were recruiting these people, promising them a bright future because they were preparing for the perestroika. This is not really far-fetched because these people were preparing for long years for this kind of thing. There are several statements of Russian leaders that confirmed this, among which is a statement from Gorbachev that Gorbachev stated that this is only that these changes, he basically said in his statement in 1987, that these changes are merely for the Western consumption, and that the Communist Party officials shouldn't be alarmed by it, and they want America to release its interest in Europe and remove nuclear weapons from Europe. Basically, that's what the objective was of the Russians. So there's a lot of details that that these people went through and prepared themselves for these so-called changes that took place. It doesn't make sense to me that America accepts these changes, and they were all done by communists and orchestrated by Moscow. Like I have the statement in front of me right here, a statement from Mikhail Gorbachev in his speech to the Politburo in 1987. He says, "Comrades, do not be concerned about all you hear about glasnost and perestroika and democracy in the coming years. These are primarily for outward consumption. There will be no significant internal change within the Soviet Union other than for cosmetic purposes. Our purpose is to disarm the Americans and let them fall asleep. We want to accomplish three things. One, we want the Americans to withdraw conventional forces from Europe. Two, we want them to withdraw nuclear forces from Europe. Three, we want the Americans to stop proceeding with the strategic defense initiative." So these are real statements. These are statements from the leaders back then, and of course the Russians continue in this. And we can see what really happened in Russia. There's no democracy or any of that, and there are no changes. I was able to download some stuff from the internet, and this was compiled by a very good friend of mine. And he's a professional journalist. There's Russian anti-American propaganda going on in the media over there. They're preparing the citizenry for basically for war. It's all hateful. It says right here, and I'm going to quote again, recent Russian movies and pop songs depict Americans as stupid animals who deserve to die. In keeping with this theme, NATO is depicted as an aggressive alliance, sometimes likened to Hitler's Third Reich. And this is real stuff, except, it never gets translated to English and never gets spread around in America to watch out for the Russians, what they do.
Very interesting.
And of course, I have a lot more. It's kind of hard to put all this stuff together, but we can,
Well, keep in mind that we're trying to convince America, the listeners, that what we're being told, the fact that Russia is our ally, is actually a strategic move to take us down farther into communism.
Well, I'm sure your listeners heard the word deception. But see, it's kind of hard to understand what it's about. It's hard to people will have hard time to understand that this is even possible, and I understand that. But see, there are a lot of facts here. The KGB and the GRU, that's the Russian military intelligence. There are still communists in there running it. These people just couldn't change overnight. See, all these changes in Eastern Europe, they all popped up at the same time. None of them had any fighting, real fighting. The communists just basically given up, which is to me that's totally impossible to happen. You know, they can't just give up overnight. That doesn't happen. It's impossible to happen. There are facts saying, namely in the situation, for example, in Czech Republic, what they did was very significant. They had all prepared. Gorbachev was in Czechoslovakia before the changes of 1989, and he there are statements that support this. He was basically telling all these leaders over there what needs to happen, who's gonna become the chief, and they wanted to install certain people in power. There was an analysis written in Czech Republic in 1991 by a former political prisoner of communism. He served 18 and a half years in communist prisons. His name was Miroslav Dolechi, and they brought him into the government, into the Ministry of Interior, just for the purpose to show that these people were able to become part of the system, governing system. Well, he only survived 4 months. They fired him because he was able to gather some details about who runs the Czech Republic and how it all happened. So he was able to publish analysis. If you understand how the whole thing happened, it was started, and particularly in Czechoslovakia, it was started by the brutality of the police against the student demonstrations in Prague. And that's how the whole country kind of started. But it was all set up. These changes were all prepared. It was provocation. It says right here, and this was according to Dolechi, he says 80% of these students that were involved in these demonstrations, they were all coached by their parents. These students had parents at senior levels of the Czechoslovak Communist Party, of the Federal Ministry of Interior, Secret Police, Foreign Ministry, General Directors, and college professors. And they were all prepared in advance what to do. There was coordination between the KGB and the Czechoslovak Secret Police that was preparing all this. The changes, the communists themselves prepared these so-called opposition groups and set up their agents inside these groups to make sure that the West is buying all this. The major thing about these changes in Eastern Europe were that it was all publicized. If these were genuine changes, there would be no TV and radio allowed and no press. There would be fighting on the streets, shooting, and people would die, and the communists will still control the societies over there. So that's just to illustrate that these changes were done. It's a provocation, and it's orchestrated clearly based on the facts. It's orchestrated from Moscow.
Okay, so this situation that we're living today is a long-term strategy coming to fruition. Is that not correct?
That's correct. It was set up in actually goes all the way back to Khrushchev between 1956 to 58. He ordered to prepare the so-called long-term policy, that was involving also destruction of the United States through slow infiltration, subversion operations, use of drugs for the purpose to undermine the Western civilization. This was described very, very much in detail in a book written by Joseph D. Douglas, Red Cocaine. A lot of details in there. When you see Eastern Europe and you think that there's democracy, well, that's just the fiction. There's no such thing as democracy. So these changes that were supposed to happen in 1989 in Eastern Europe, they didn't bring any freedom to the people, because the people over there, they don't control their governments. The government is still involved with, there are still communists, there are communist agents, people that were prepared for their post in advance. Many of them had connections to Soviet Union or the Czech communist secret police, and these people were recruited for this particular purpose to serve as fronts for the communists, and they of course protected the communists from any kind of persecution by the new regime. In the case of Czechoslovakia, they enacted the so-called legal continuation law that prohibited any kind of lawsuits against the communists, and I'm talking about criminal lawsuits for murder, assassinations, for tyranny, oppression, stealing property, and all that. So none of these communists were ever tried and punished.
Uh-huh. Well, I see Gorbachev wrote a book entitled Perestroika, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, he wrote that book in 1988, and in there is a quote. He says, "More socialism means more democracy, openness, and collectivism in everyday life." That's what he says. More socialism means more democracy, openness, and collectivism in everyday life. He certainly made himself known to certain parties that he's a devout communist. And this is the bottom line of our situation. He says at Northwestern University in 1998, Mikhail Gorbachev stated, quote, "Please remember one lesson of the 20th century. One cannot impose happiness on nations by imposing any kind of utopia on others. The communist model of society was a kind of imposed utopia for which the Russian people in particular paid a great price. Still, sometimes we see that attempts are being made to impose some other kind of model on the entire world, maybe a westernized or Americanized model. This is not the way to go because this can only create conflict," end quote. Isn't that an interesting statement to make?
Yeah, well, people should know, first of all, that Mikhail Gorbachev was a favorite pupil of late Yuri Andropov. Andropov was one-time chief of the KGB, and he became the general secretary of the Soviet Communist Party. Gorbachev holds rank of KGB general. He's a highly trained agent.
But we're told the KGB isn't existing anymore.
Well, they renamed it, but most of the people stayed in there. I actually have an article stating the facts about the KGB, what they let out, basically, so you got to kind of see through it. They claim that from the 50,000 high-level officers of the KGB, only 56 were let go after the collapse of Soviet Union in 91. So all these communists are still there. The same thing happened to Czechoslovakia, same thing in Poland. Namely, the military intelligence officers are still there, the same thing. They're infiltrating NATO. I have an article, they broke out a scandal in Czech Republic. Czech Republic is a NATO member country, and they were giving security clearances to each other. So they were able to go to these NATO meetings and listen to classified information and all that. And this is nothing unusual. And then they, of course, inform Moscow about what's going on around NATO. Russia, well, Gorbachev, what he says is really, it shows how what kind of values these people have. They have none. They when somebody says that socialism leads to democracy, I mean, we should better watch out. The bottom line is we should never sign anything with these people because they are criminals. These are communist criminals. They murdered so many people over the years. They follow their ideology. We should never sign anything with them and let them rob what they have because that's the only security we have. Look at what Russia does today. I mean, they're selling missiles to terrorists. Just one detail, I'm sure I mentioned this before, but this is from a book called The New Jackals, written by British terrorism expert Simon Reeve. I'm going to quote here just to show you what I mean. According to a British intelligence source that had access to records of Egyptian interrogation of captured Afghan Arabs, members of Al-Qaeda, operating from Albania, they have obtained samples of anthrax and lethal viral agent botulism from a lab in the Czech Republic for $7,500 sample. There was a scandal about this, but they covered it up over there in Czech Republic. Czech Republic government lied that this military research center and production center was closed in 1990, and this happened. The scandal broke out thanks to the interrogation documents from Egypt. It broke out in 1995. So and you understand the biological weapons. They all they need the terrorists. They need samples, and that's it. And then they can grow it and spread it. So it's like a culture that grows and. So they can control it pretty much, and these are our so-called allies selling highly dangerous weapon-grade biological weapons to terrorists.
In other words, if the terrorism continues in this country, which has been predicted by government agents or government agencies, the terrorism that will happen in America, whether the press blames it on a Middle Eastern Al-Qaeda terrorist or someone else, it will more than likely be sponsored by Russia?
It is sponsored by Russia. Terrorism was founded by the communists to use the terrorism as a tool to undermine the Western societies.
Mm.
There are supplies to going on. Basically, they're using the terrorists. They're using the same channels as they were sending the drugs to the West. They're using the same thing for sending weapons and suitcase bombs and all that. There are statements from Russian defectors, namely Colonel of the Russian intelligence and military intelligence, Stanislav Lunev. He stated there are at least 100 to 150 suitcase bombs in America already prepositioned. And he had access. He had control. He stated to my sources that he had control of 12 of them. So we are looking at a serious problem. On one hand, we have Russia, Russian quote former unquote communists telling us that how big friends they are, and on another hand, they supply terrorists with weapons. And they're moving the dirty bombs to America. So what's going on? See, we gotta, without the understanding that the collapse of communism was set up by the communists themselves in order to disarm America and to bring us to a disarming table and to show us that they are friendly and to put us to sleep, basically. Without that understanding, we will never understand what Russia's up to today.
We're with Hans Molina, listeners. The anticommunistanalyst.com is his website, a partner to our website. We'll be back to continue with Hans Molina, listeners. Stay with us. Thank you.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Yeah. Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you? If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government printed currency is not. Call Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call. 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Chris Gerner. This is the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour. At the conclusion of this hour, there will be an hour wait, and I'll be on First Amendment Radio again at 9 p.m. Central Time. That's 9 p.m. Central Time on Internet and Satellite. We're on WWCR right now, shortwave radio. 7.465 is the frequency, and listeners to that, pay attention. On June 1st, we move to a new frequency, 9.985. On June 1st, we will be on 9.985 on WWCR. Hans, I'm seeing here, and once again, our guest is Hansa Molina, a former Czechoslovakian Republic defector, and they use that word republic very loosely. He defected to this country 15 years ago, and I have some information here from JapanToday.com, dated April 26th. Says Putin says Soviet Union collapse was a tragedy, and he lamented the demise of the Soviet Union in some of the strongest language to date, saying in a nationally televised speech before Parliament that it was the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the century. In his annual address to lawmakers, top government officials, and political leaders, Putin also sought to reassure skittish investors about Russia's investment climate. Just two 2 days before a ruling in the tax evasion and fraud trial of oil tycoon Mikhail Khodorkovsky. His statements in the collapse of the Soviet Union and his efforts on Russians at home and abroad came as the country is awash with nostalgia just 2 weeks before the 60th anniversary of the end of World War II in Europe, a conflict Russians call the Great Patriotic War. Putin, who served as a colonel in the KGB, has resurrected some communist symbols during his presidency, bringing back the music of the old Soviet anthem and the Soviet-style red banner as the military's flag. There's much more to this, but isn't it funny how Russia has a president now, just like we have a president, where it used to be a premier? Isn't that interesting in itself? But what's your read on this Putin situation, Hansa?
Well, it's simple, really. I mean, what do you expect from a communist? He's going to do what he's required to do. He's got to reassure the troops that he's committed to the cause. So he's going to state that what needs to be stated. It's clear as a whistle. I mean, we were fooled. We should we better wake up, because these things will continue to happen. And you know, Putin himself, and there's not a whole lot of people that know about his background, but it's a known fact if you dig deeper. Putin's grandfather used to be Stalin's personal cook. Stalin didn't trust anybody. So there were very few Russians serving Stalin as servants, and Putin's grandfather was his personal cook. Father of Vladimir Putin, he used to serve on the Russian submarine and the Russian special forces. So Putin himself joined the KGB when he was 17 years old. I mean, this guy is brainwashed. He's hardened communist, and they are trained to pretend who they are. See, the bottom line is, communists must not be trusted. They cannot be trusted. We can't trust them, because they only use that trust what we give them, and they turn it against us. Look at China. I mean, we consider China as a sort of friendly communist country, and China is turning this huge deficit what we have, the trade deficit, and the lot of money that we send to China, and they're buying advanced weaponry from Russia. They are threatening Taiwan, and you know, China will never be our friends. And the same thing with Russia and Eastern Europe. That's totally obvious. I don't see how this was overlooked. See, the bottom line is, you can't have it both ways. There's only good and evil. And once you start signing treaties with evil, you put yourself on the same level, basically. And look at our republic today. It's becoming more of a socialist country.
Actually, it's called a democracy today, isn't it?
Yeah, that's,
which is a lie.
Yeah,
a lie, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, Russians, Russian people have no powers over the government. That's got to be understood. The same thing applies to Eastern Europe. If you go into detail how it all happened, you'll find out that Russians were behind it, that the Russians supplied money through Sweden to that were then moved to Eastern Europe, namely Czechoslovakia, to all these so-called dissidents. The guy that was running the operation in Sweden in the 70s, after I think it started in 1977, he was involved in Soviet nuclear research connected to Russian military intelligence. And this money was sent through legal channels to all these dissidents that now run Czech Republic. The same thing happened with Poland. You know, there's so many details that are surfacing and that our so-called experts don't pay attention to. I just finished an article for my website where I pointed out that there was a meeting and a seminar in 2000 in Prague in Czech Republic, where there were people from the defense circle, U.S. defense circles involved, among which was Frank Gaffney, Richard Perle, Richard Allen, Roger Robinson, and there was the speaker was also U.S. ambassador in Czech Republic at that time, John Shedduck, and they were invited to this meeting. by people that are clearly pretending to be former dissidents. But when I dig deeper, they are connected to known communists. They receive money from known communists, among which one person that's a financial supporter of this organization called Civic Institute. One person, he was Minister of Industry in 1993. He was involved. He was promoting sale of nuclear technology from Czech Republic to Iran. So and he's suspected of being KGB agent. There are other details. And these people pretend to be Catholics and Christian and conservative. See, and they have all these supporters that are highly questionable with communist background and known communists. That these people were basically members of the Communist Party that support them financially. They have money from the Czech Senate, from the Czech government.
Now listen, I see here an article that Dennis has put on the website, and this is dated February 19th, 1996, just about 10 years ago. And it's entitled Russian Mafia: Organized Crime is Big Business for KGB. Is that an interesting thought? Russian Mafia being big business for the KGB, does that mean something to you when that title comes to your mind?
Well, it's Russian organized crime is organized by the state. These people are, quote, former, quote, KGB officers, high-level officers. They're using the same channels. Let me quote something real quick because I can summarize it with better words. It says right here in the article I got in front of me, written by my good friend, many of Russia's mafia organizations operate in collaboration with or under the supervision of military intelligence and the state security services. Organized crime is used to penetrate Western banks, technology companies, law enforcement, and government. Routes used for smuggling drugs and other contraband are reserved in wartime for bringing biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons into the U.S. One of the cases that I was able, and you can check it on the internet, it's really easy accessible, as the question of Ukraine, and which is still controlled by Russian agents. In fact, I was able to access information on members of the Ukraine government, as they pretend to be friendly to the United States and pro-democracy and all that. These people basically are all former KGB officers. The former Ukraine Prime Minister Pavel Lazarenko was arrested and tried and convicted in the court of law in San Francisco for money laundering. And Lazarenko had, when he was Prime Minister of Ukraine, there were several millions of dollars involved in that money laundering scandal. And basically, when he was the Prime Minister, he had under his command all the security services. So this ties the Russian government to the mafia, the Ukrainian government, basically. But to illustrate that these people are connected to Moscow, till recently, before all the so-called changes in Ukraine, the defense minister was former KGB director of the KGB for Ukraine during the communist era. So Yevheny Marchuk is his name. He was the defense minister of Ukraine, and he was the boss of the KGB in Ukraine during the communist era. So this is just to illustrate how Moscow protects her interest in all these republics. And that you can find just about the same case in all these so-called former Soviet republics, and then all of a sudden becoming friendly to America, friendly to the West. They all want to get inside the NATO. They all want to get inside the European Union, and it's becoming sort of like a joke, because Europe is mostly anti-American. Look at how they really didn't help us during those years, during just last 3 years in Iraq, in Afghanistan. So when we look at these details, we really see that what Gorbachev stated one time is becoming true. And he said that Moscow is interested and one Europe from the Atlantic Ocean to the Urals.
Mm-hmm.
So that this just illustrates that all that strategy is pretty much put in place. It's working.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is the situation we live today, a life of lies, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is that, like I was talking about the meeting in Prague where our so-called experts were in, they were supplied, obviously, the information that the collapse of communism happened. This is what these so-called dissidents are promoting. It's basically they want to get their foot in. They got contacts, Chris. I'm not joking here. They got contacts and connections all the way to U.S. defense companies, contractors like Lockheed Martin or Boeing, and they have such high-level contacts. These people in that civic institute in Prague, they are very very much connected. These people were part of the Czech government, connected to people that were, you know, communists during the communist era, and now they pretend to be really businessmen and analysts and all that. So we are being played for fools, basically. We are being played for fools. And then you uncover that they always have some kind of case when it comes up as a scandal. When there's something uncovered, like, for example, Czech Republic business selling, I think it was like 50,000 machine guns and about 2 million rounds of ammunition to Hamas, to the terrorist group Hamas. Of course, they came up with a name that's totally, doesn't even sound Czech. They came up with some kind of front guy, and in the background there were two Russian military officers and one Czech communist agent involved in all these sales, and they ran it through a company, through a Syrian colonel, that this company was buying these weapons and ammunition and then transferring it through Yemen to Hamas. So and this is just one case. I mean, this broke out just because there was a German intelligence was involved. They leaked it, and they came up with some details about it, so the Czechs had to acknowledge that this really happened. There's another thing that this guy, former KGB officer Viktor Bout, and he was involved in selling weapons to Al-Qaeda, and explosives and all that. This has been going on since the founding of communism, basically. They trained all these people. When I was in the military over there, I was in a division. We were training pilots, but we had people from the communist regime of Angola, from Africa. We had people from Libya. I've seen them. We were training all these people, too.
What is the ultimate goal here? Is it to attack this country?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you think this country is going to be attacked? Do you think military weapons have been pre-deployed here into underground facilities and maybe closed areas, off-limit areas in the wilderness so we can't go there to inspect? Do you think there's Soviet weapons and vehicles stored in this country right now?
Well, I wouldn't say Soviet vehicles, but I think the Russians control some of these front companies that are involved in transportation, namely container transportation, and there could be stored some things that they may use. I am a witness to, through my job, I am a witness to unloading some, I heard this from my sources over there, people I know, that there were a Russian boat unloading some boxes 2 o'clock in the morning off of a boat docked in Bellingham, Washington State. A minivan came through. There's Russian community around Seattle also. Minivan came through and they unloaded the boxes and left with no problems. And we think, of course, we trust Russia that these are ordinary seamen. But see, if you don't know, that these people are all trained soldiers, always have. There's no much change. So these, you know, what was in that in those boxes. There are other details what Russia did, namely the situation in during the 90s when in Puget Sound again in Washington. There was a Russian boat. This was described by Bill Gertz in his book Treason. Betrayal. This boat was already suspected of espionage. A Russian boat. They never delivered anything to our ports. So they were always fixing the boat and always doing something suspicious. And of course, there are two major. Major bases in that area, namely Bremerton and Bangor, Washington, where our nuclear subs. So this boat was already setting special devices on bottom of the Puget Sound area, and the ocean, to monitor movement of our nuclear submarines. And this was described by Bill Gertz. This was very much documented. And so when our helicopter, it was joint operation with the Canadian Navy, so the helicopter was in fact Canadian, the pilot and the photographer were flying over this boat and tried to take pictures of the boat, what's going on. They were lasered. They were attacked by a laser weapon from the boat by the Russians. Their eyesight is permanently damaged. I think the photographer's name was Lieutenant Jack Daly, so far I think I remember. And Clinton administration covered it up. They searched the boat. There was a State Department official present. Russians cover up one of the rooms. They wouldn't allow people to go in there. So the State Department official was in charge, and he said that that's sufficient, and that was it. There are other details that happened in, for example, in Maine, when there was a company transporting military vehicles, and nearby was there was the custom officers from Maine. They apprehended one Russian illegal that was basically he had, and this was published by Michel Malkin. And let me see if I can quote really. I can quote this real quick. It was in June 2003, according to the Border Patrol, while searching for the missing vehicles, there was a Humvee vehicle stolen from the, from one facility that belonged to the National Guard of Maine. While searching for the missing vehicle, agents apprehended a Russian illegal alien nearby. He had a valid New York state license, commercial driver's license, allowing him to haul hazardous materials, and a pass that granted him access to seaports along the East Coast, including high-level security bonded customs areas. Also, the report continues, and this is pretty astonishing. Also this summer, that means in 2003, two other Russian nationals dressed in the military battle dress uniforms were stopped by Canadian authorities as they attempted to enter the U.S. at the unguarded crossing approximately 20 miles south of this same facility in Maine. So this is this was reported as such a details. We simply think that the Russians are our friends, but they're working in the clandestine operations against America. I already talked about the suitcase nukes, but see what I was saying before. We have Chinese companies involved in transporting containers. They are working, and it's Hanjin Company and China Shipping, and perhaps some others. And we don't know what they're bringing here.
Okay, now listen, I've been saying this for years. Sea crate containers coming to this country uninspected, and or for all intents and purposes, customs says they barely inspect 2% of the sea crate containers coming to this country. We have Costco Ports, China Ocean Shipping Company, which you just mentioned, on the East Coast, the West Coast, the Gulf of Mexico. We've got China in control of the Panama Canal. We have China allied with Cuba, China allied with Russia, and here we see, dated February 24th, 2002, from the New American Magazine, counting Vladimir Putin as an ally against terrorism, ignores his career in the murderous KGB/FSB and his ongoing support of terrorist regimes and organizations. So what are we seeing here but an entire scenario being developed for the totalitarian takeover of this country?
That's basically what it is. But see, they can't really take over the country secretly, subvert it, because American people will not stand for it. And it's so difficult to change the Constitution here. They can undermine parts of it, but not entirely everything. So they have to go to the military, basically,
a war.
Yeah, a war, basically war. Because, see, they tried, this was the strategy what they had since the Khrushchev era. They try, it's part of, actually, as a matter of fact, it's part of what the Russians are doing. It's called, they're using very clearly the old Chinese military strategy called Sun Tzu.
Yes.
About 2,500 years old. Basically, what they do is they're trying to undermine the opponent, that's us, the enemy, from within, from, you know, supply deceptive information, try to bring their communist policies into America, try to implement things that will undermine our moral values, destroy the Christianity. That's all part of the strategy. So, and of course, if you read that Red Cocaine book, you find out how they were involved in drugs and still involved in drugs, training drug narco traffickers. There were two training camps in Czechoslovakia, for example, training camps of terrorists. I already stated this before, I'm going to have to repeat it. For example, 9/11 hijacker Mohammed Atta, I had a meeting with a former Czech intelligence officer in 2003. He stated in front of the witness that he's seen file that Mohammed Atta was trained by Czechoslovak communists in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
In a very well-known terrorist training camp, we have eyewitness that served in that in nearby military base, and they were bringing these terrorists to for live target practice and use of explosives.
Hanza, we're just about out of time. Why don't we do this? Why don't we have you come back next Wednesday at this time slot? Are you think you're able to do that next
Absolutely.
Wednesday?
Absolutely. I'll make it happen, Chris, for
okay.
you. No problem.
Okay. Next Wednesday at the same time slot, we'll have you back with us on First Amendment Radio and WWCR 7.465. And keep in mind, on June 1st, we move to 9.985. That's 9.985 on WWCR, because we're flat out of time, and it's very, very important to get your input because of your experiences from your country. Had your country not been destroyed from within, like this country's being destroyed from within, you never would have left your own country, would you?
Well, I don't think so, no, but I had to leave.
Well, certainly it was taken over,
yeah,
and communized. Hanza, I appreciate you being with us tonight. We're out of time. And listeners, I hope you appreciate him. Go to theanticommunistanalyst.com. That's theanticommunistanalyst.com, which is on our website, americanexpose.com. And certainly lots of good information that Dennis has provided for us as well. Thank you for listening tonight. And I'll be back in 1 hour on First Amendment Radio, Internet, and Satellite.
Welcome back to So You Want to Go to Heaven, Frank.
Thanks, Roger.
If you get this final question right, you secure your place in heaven. If you get it wrong, well, we don't want to go there.
That's right.
Okay, to get to heaven, you must...